What is good, everybody? Welcome to another great episode of La Vida Luca. Before we get into the episode, I just want to let you guys know that we recorded this on April 25th. It was Sunday, and the Mavs were going to play the Kings on Monday night and the Warriors on Tuesday. Those games have passed by the time this has been posted up, so I just want to update you guys on what's happened there. The Mavericks did lose to the Sacramento Kings once again. I mean, a lot of players were ruled out due to injury, and, you know, it got pretty close between the second and third quarter, but the Mavs just couldn't get the lead and hold on to it. So they lost again to the Kings, which kind of sucks because De'Aaron Fox was out as well, and Harrison Barnes got injured. So you'd hope a Mavericks team that is, you know, headed towards the playoffs, at least right now, would be able to beat up on the Sacramento Kings. But let's not forget, the Sacramento Kings were also in a 9-game losing streak last time they played the Mavs, just a week ago, and they still beat the Mavs. So, just for some reason, the Sacramento Kings got the better of the Dallas Mavericks once again. And to be honest, it sucks for sure, but to be honest, the fact that Harrison Barnes got traded mid-game from the Mavs to the Kings, I'm okay with Harrison Barnes winning every single game against the Mavs. That still doesn't sit well with me. And, you know, the Kings just have the Mavs number, it looks like. So we'll have to figure that out. They actually have a pretty good team around De'Aaron Fox. They have Tyrese Haliburton was a beast. He's a great rookie. They obviously have Buddy Hield on the team. You know, just some nice few numbers of players. Rashawn Holmes is also a solid player there. They had Marvin Bagley. I mean, you know, this is something we can get into in the offseason, but for the Mavs, you know, it's cool to have this 1-2 punch with Luka and KP when both are healthy and on the court, which isn't even that often anymore, right? But what's more important is having a great solid roster from 3 to 8. And going into the summer, we'll get more into it after the season ends, but I think it's great to have maybe another star on the team. But if you can't get one of those top three big fish this summer, I just want to invest in solid role players. That 3 to 8 should be full of great players, and that will help this team, you know, and going into the future, because I think that's so vital. I mean, I think these rookies that we took are going to be good down the road. But right now, Luka needs the help, and it doesn't have to be another star player right this second. But having great players that can shoot threes, that can play make, that can handle the ball as well, rebound, you know, we could use some help everywhere. So I think that'll be super important going down the road. But hey, I'm happy right now because the Mavs just whooped the Golden State Warriors, who is, you know, in contention for the play-in game right now. And Steph Curry's been on a hot streak, just draining threes all day long. But the Mavericks look good. They got some players back this game, and Luka did his thing. Luka went off this game and grabbed the W for the Mavericks. The Mavericks won by 30. Luka tonight had 39 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and shot 65% as his field goal percentage. That's just freaking amazing. He also did that in he did that in 28 minutes. And I think that's awesome. Getting that little extra rest in the fourth quarter because they're just they're up by so much. I love it. I love giving him some rest. It's well deserved. And, yeah, so, I mean, the Mavericks looked good today, and this has been the story. We talk about this in the episode, that the Mavericks were better against teams above 500. And they're actually, like, subpar against the sub-500 teams, which is a very interesting story. And as you can tell, losing to the Kings and then winning against the Warriors. It doesn't even make any sense. But, hey, it is what it is, and the Mavs are headed to the playoffs. We talk about this in the episode. The Mavs are going to play a playoff team. They're going to be above 500. So, hey, as long as that, you know, that recipe keeps on going, I'm not too worried about it. But, hey, I hope you enjoy the episode. And if there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. And we'll happily be talking about those things in our next episode. Have a good one.
You.
There you go.
Does it do the same for you where it kind of recalibrates it?
Yeah. Because I knew it was starting to record and whatever, and then, yeah, my thing resets, your thing resets. And I know the first 5 seconds as well are kind of blurry as well. So, are you ready to go? All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ah, yes. Welcome to another great episode of La Vida Luca, where it's all Luca, all Mavs, all the time. Ryan, how are you feeling? All right, the Mavs actually just beat the Lakers back-to-back, which has me feeling great, okay? Because if we'd recorded this probably last Sunday, probably wouldn't be feeling that great because they were like in the midst of a couple of losses that weren't feeling too good. But now I feel pretty great. How are you feeling?
That's why we waited, to get us in an upswing so we can be inspired for this. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, obviously coming off of two wins against the Lakers, which is only about two games ahead of us. So that's exciting. Getting the tiebreaker there, big wins. So that's very exciting so far. Yeah,
for sure. I think last time we talked, you know, Mavs were on like this, in the midst of a hot streak, right? They had, I think, won 5-6 games in a row. Then they started taking all these L's, right? A couple people were out, in and out. Sometimes the team just wasn't good. We saw Julius Randle manhandle the Mavs. When, you know, then they took an L to the Knicks. They took an L
granted,
to the Kings.
Granted, they're on a 9-game winning streak, the Knicks. So now they're doing pretty hot.
Now they are, right. And if you want to talk about a losing streak, the Kings were on a 9-game losing streak and came in to town and whooped the Mavs, which looked horrible. Okay. And a couple other games before that, they lost to the 76ers and the Spurs. So it wasn't a great feeling, right? They won a couple games in between, but it just wasn't nice. But like you mentioned, beating the Lakers, who are a little ahead of us in this thing, in the seeding, and Anthony Davis coming back, getting a couple minutes, right? That was a little scary. I was a little worried. And, you know, even this back-to-back game, the second game, the Mavs were down, you know, in the 17. Second quarter. Yeah. And it did not look good. All right, it's pretty close in the like beginning part of the game. Then it was like, uh-oh, this looked horrible. But the Mavs ended up winning that game. They went on a 19-4 run to end the game. Your boy Dwight Powell was looking really good. And now people are giving his credit. And I was out on Twitter. I was like, yo, you guys are liking Dwight now. But like, I know the number one Dwight Powell fan in the world. It is Ryan. It is the guy I'm talking to right now. He's been, I don't know. Hopefully Dwight hears this one day. Because like, hey, Dwight, this guy's been supporting you day in and day out. And you know what else? Going into the season, Ryan had DFS being the most improved player in the league, right? Isn't that correct? He's been pretty hot lately, right? He's been shooting around 40% or so from three. He's been playing great defense. I mean, even last night, you know, you might mention Luka doing his thing. Dwight, you know, excelling. DFS was a key role player there and did his job.
He was the second lead scorer on the team last night. It was Dwight with 25, and I believe DFS is 21 or 22. I don't remember. But he was second. Look, I like last night because it showed that the Mavs can come back through adversity. They struggled mightily in the second quarter. They're double-teaming very tightly. Luka was making some poor decisions and passes. But, hey, they came out, made some adjustments, attacked that interior with Dwight Powell. And it made a huge difference. Dwight Powell, I think why Dwight Powell worked is because he's able to finish around the rim, but he's also able to pass out and make a good decision off that pass too if it's not there. He was 11 for 12, and actually 11 for 12 shooting, which is pretty incredible. Made all his free throws and also I think 3 assists in that, and plus some hustle plays too where he got some rebounds and second chance opportunity. So that energy is really integral for this team.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're looking at that, I mean, shout out to Rick Carlisle. You know, I think he's doing a great job here. You see it. They're down big. You know, they came back. And I got to give a little hat tip to Rick because I think he's an integral part of that. But when you're looking at the team, one thing I mentioned to you a couple days ago when we were talking was like instilling Dwight Powell into the starting lineup has really changed the team. I mean, obviously Maxi Kleber was out, so you knew there was some like line changeup happening. But it happened that Dwight Powell was a little bit more active recent weeks, and he's looked great, right? We've been winning games since he's been in the starting lineup. And we saw that yesterday as well. I mean, the teams are double teaming Luka, right? Because KP's out, so it's a little easier to double guard, you know, get two people on him. And that leaves people like Dwight Powell to be wide open. And there's this epic play, I sent you the tweet link to it, where Dwight Powell's up at the top of the key, looking like he's going to pass to Luka, right? Mm-hmm. And Andre Drummond comes all the way up, and then Dwight sees that and then runs to the basket and scores. And I was like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Luka loved that play, too. He is like, that solved that problem.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, Luka is the most double-team player in the league right now. he's facing that more often. And what's interesting is I really like Rick putting Dwight Powell in the starting lineup. Even with Maxi Kleber was back, Dwight was still in the starting lineup, and mm-hmm. Maxi came off the bench, although Maxi played a few more minutes. And I think the reason was the slump that they had, they were always fighting back. They always went down big, or at least a little bit in the first quarter, always trying to fight their way back, lacked energy, you know, lacked inspiration. But Dwight Powell, always hustling, always energy. So I think Rick Carlisle was like, if I put him in the starting lineup, maybe that energy, the inspiration, the hustle will rub off with everybody else. And as a matter of fact, the Mavs, when leading after the first quarter, are 20-0, the best record in the league. They're 20-0 after if they're leading after the first quarter.
That, yeah.
And energy from Dwight Powell to get that first quarter, that's huge. And I think Rick Carlisle recognizes that.
Yeah, and I think if there's one thing that Dwight Powell brings to the court, it's athleticism, right? Like, that's what he's known for. Mm-hmm. And I think you bring in that high energy, like you mentioned, you bring in the pick and rolls early in the game. I think it just opens up a few more things and makes things easier. And yeah, that's an incredible 20-0 in the first quarter. And I think leading in the third quarter, they're like, I don't know. I think I saw like 24-5 or something like that. It's pretty incredible that what they can do. And like you mentioned, Kleba did come back last night after an injury, and he had some great things, right? Like, let me see here. He ended up with only 9 points, right? But they're all from three-point range. You know, he shot 3 threes. He had a season-high 10 rebounds, and he also had a career-high 5 assists, which is pretty great coming off the bench, right? Like you mentioned, he did get, you know, plenty of minutes there, but I think that's fantastic. And just to correct what you're mentioning earlier, DFS did have 21 points. I just want to clarify that in case anyone was wondering. But yeah, so, I mean, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. We're seeing, you know, the Mavs hustle out here. One great addition, two great additions during the trade deadline I want to get into real quick here. But did you have any thoughts of the past few games? Anything else that we haven't touched yet?
I think what's been interesting, you mentioned the slump. And actually quite a few of the games in the slump that we lost were against teams below 500.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings, for example, the Rockets was another one. And it's interesting because the Mavs against teams below 500 are 11-12. And above 500 are 25 and 14. I can't do math.
You're looking at me like, hey, can you do math? I'm like, no.
Well, what's the record? They're 36-23. They're 25-12. There you go. 25-11.
Okay. Oh my goodness. We are going to clarify this. Ryan, get on that.
But they're above 500 teams again that are above 500 record. Mavs have been beating at a higher rate than the below 500, which is really fascinating to think about. Because I don't know if they let down the guard or what the reasoning is, but those games, especially this upcoming schedule that we'll get into, a lot of them are below 500. So we need to make sure we take care of business and get those W's when we can.
Yeah, all right. So the record's 33-26. You can do the math here. If you have the exact ones, again, tell me what their record is.
It's 11-12.
11-12 against below 500, correct? Which would mean they are 22-14. 22-14 against teams above 500. And yeah, I mean, that's very interesting because, you know, when we're talking about, oh, after the All-Star break, they're going to have the easiest schedule, right? Turns out it's actually the hardest schedule because the Mavs don't play well against below 500 teams. It bodes well for them if they make the playoffs, right? You're playing with some really good teams there, so hopefully the Mavs step it up. But that is a really good point, right? When we looked at when we broke down the schedule after All-Star break, I told you, like, you know, we had the Lakers this month, a little tough, right? We had a tough schedule here. Even, you know, at the end of March, early April, that was a little tough. But I was like, May should be easy, right? Like the teams you're playing are pretty, you know, they're lottery teams, really, like most of them, right? So hopefully the Mavs can just pull it together and get those W's that should be, you know, readily available for them.
Yeah, and the other thing is we need to keep that energy going. We need the Dwight Powell. And look, the win last night was without KP, without Josh Richardson. So that makes it even a little better. I mean, obviously the Lakers were without LeBron, without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but This is a great win to win without all your players. So we need to keep that energy for whoever steps up. Needs to be stepped up. Is there a Nicolò Melli who we got?
Exactly.
He looks decent. I mean, he's not getting too many minutes. When he comes in, he hustles hard, makes some threes. You know, he looks pretty decent. And what we're going to get into, J.J. Redick, I think sometimes he doesn't get that many minutes, but he's a nice playmaker to have out the bench. He's known for his three-point shooting. We all know he's prolific there. But he can also make some plays and create some offense for that team that's much needed, especially when Tim Hardaway Jr., like last night, goes 1-for-10 or whatever it was. He was actually minus 20, and everybody else was like plus in the plus.
Yeah, I don't blame that. Yeah, so let's get into that real quick here. So at the trade deadline, obviously, you know, someone is so excited about J.J. Redick. Oh, yes. But, yo, Nicolò Melli is a blessing, right? Like, the minutes he does get, he does perform. I mean, there's a play where he got a board on defense, right? And then instead of throwing it back to Luka, right? Luka's like, hey, throw it back to me. I'll bring the ball up. Melli, like, just dribbled down the court and then, you know, gave a pass to Willie Cauley-Stein, I think, who threw it in for a layup. I was like, that's awesome, right? Like, that is great. I felt a little bad for Luka. I was like, Luka's probably upset that he didn't get the ball there. But, like, Melli was playmaking there. We've seen that. A couple of games, you know, whether he's shooting threes, whether he's getting rebounds or whatever it is, Melly's a great player. And, you know, someone we're, like you said, we're both excited for was J.J. Redick. And we saw that in the first Lakers game for sure. You know, the no-look pass for the dunk, right? He also had, like, the fake and went for the layup and it, like, twirled around in the basket for a second and went in. Yeah, J.J. Redick, I think he'll keep getting more minutes. But he's looked really good in those minutes, right? We're seeing people like Burke getting less minutes. And I feel like, you know, having someone like J.J. Redick that can shoot the three, like you mentioned, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's either on or he's off, right? And the bad thing is, when he's off, he's still going to keep shooting.
I mean, he made a good shot at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, that was a good shot. That is for sure. There's, you know, winding down the third quarter, there's only a few seconds left. And yeah, man, he jumped after he shot it, like, hoping it went in. I saw that, and it was a nice shot. It went in, and I was like, great. Like, I feel good. I hope that helps his confidence. But I mean, you kind of see that with TJ and even Josh Richardson, right? Like, Josh Richardson's been somewhat in a slump on offense, and like, he's been missing open layups sometimes. I'm just like, this is not great. But, you know, hopefully they can get this together. And the fact they have a little bit, you know, a little bit more depth right now is great, because you can put those players in and get some points.
I was about to say that I hope that Rick Carlisle starts playing the hot hand. And maybe Trey Burke sees a few minutes, like DHJ is a little off. Maybe put Trey Burke in there. Maybe see Jalen Brunson. Maybe see more J.J. Redick in those moments and vice versa. I think going in the fourth quarter, we've seen him use Jalen Brunson towards the end, which works. Those couple games, Jalen Brunson was not having his best game. And he puts J.J. Redick and, you know, whoever's, you know, doing well, I think that could bode well for the Mavs. I was nothing against THJ, but he was having a bad night last. I was really happy to see that Rick Carlisle was like, hey, I'm going to put J.J. Redick to close this instead of keeping in THJ. I'm sure tomorrow night he's going to go off for 36.
No, that's for sure. I mean, that's the point. That is who Tim Hardaway Jr. is, right? And, you know, Josh Richardson was also out last night, right? So they're a little shorthanded. He had, like, some hamstring tightness or something like that. So it's great to get that W. But let's just look into the Western standings, like where we are in the West, right? Where the Mavs are, you know, who's right behind them, who's right ahead of them. And then we'll talk about the remaining 13 games. There's only 13 games left in the season. So it is high time, right? It is time
down to the wire.
It is time to hit that seventh gear, that magical seventh gear. Like, it is time to get it going.
Sixth gear.
No, I know. Sixth gear is the highest you can go. There's a magical seventh gear that a lot of people are unaware of, right? Only a couple people are, you know, have that gear in them. So this is time to kick it to high gear here and get these wins, right? And I think getting these wins will, you know, get into the playoffs too. You'll be on this hot streak. You'll be feeling really good. So let's get it rolling. So let's look at the West right now.
Luka actually has the 77th gear.
Oh, ha-ha. All right, so.
And Dwight Powell's always on his seventh gear. You know, number seven, always seventh gear.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. No, I'm throwing away your drum set, Ryan.
All right, so right here we've got the Jazz in first place, who, like, let's be real, I think the Jazz don't get talked about enough, right? Like, they've been doing great things. I mean, Conley, Donovan Mitchell, he's been in and out. He's been out a little bit recently, but, you know, Rudy Gobert, this is just a solid team. They've been in that first place. They've been holding on to it. So, like, you know, hats to them. They're going to be scary, I think.
And it's team ball, too. It's all team ball, which is great. And they already clinched their spot.
In the playoffs. For sure. I mean, when you talk about, who's going to be the MVP, who's going to be whatever, like, you never hear the Jazz players, even though they have the best seed in the West, right? It's because it is team ball. They do have Mike Conley stepping up. They have Mitchell stepping up. They have Gobert stepping up. Like, these
Ingles. They really...
What's up?
Ingles.
Yeah. Joe Ingles doing great work. So, yeah, they just have this nice depth on the team. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Same thing could be said for the Suns. The Phoenix Suns, you never hear, who's the MVP? Like, none of their players are really mentioned, but, like, Chris Paul's been really well, doing well. Booker, DeAndre Ayton, our boy Jay Crowder's on the team. I mean, that team's cooking, and they've been holding on to that number two spot for quite some time. What is
cooking
that?
Cooking.
Is that how you cook? You bring up the stove to your face?
Yeah, that's how James Harden cooks.
It looks like you're cooking a cup right now. It looks like you're stirring a cup. You are
just enough for a cup. I don't need. I'm one person here. I don't need a pot.
So here comes the interesting part. Right now, we got the Los Angeles Clippers, who I think have had the best streak, if I'm not mistaken. This is what I heard. They have the best streak, best record since All-Star break. You know, like, Paul George has been super hot, right? Like, we've been hearing a lot about him recently because he's been on a tear. That Clippers team could be super scary and someone the Mavs potentially face again in the first round.
And Serge Ibaka hasn't even played since before All-Star, just around in March, mid-March. He hasn't played since then. And Kawhi's been in and out. PG-13 has been in and out. So,
yeah.
But it makes sense. They had a good, like, 10-game win streak or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, so we're recording this on April 25th, Sunday, but, like, their past 10 games, they went 9-1. You know, like, this is some elite stuff. I think that Rondo trade somehow wouldn't just, you know, you get playoff Rondo. Playoff Rondo is pretty scary, so I don't want to be facing that.
And playoff DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, sure. I don't, yeah.
Cricket?
Yeah. So the fourth seed, we've got the Denver Nuggets, right? They've been, I think, in the second, third, fourth spot for, you know, some time now. They've been falling a little bit because obviously Jamal Murray did get injured, and I think that changes their dynamic as a team. So I think, you know, trading for Aaron Gordon was really good because now they do have some depth there. They signed a couple more players, you know, since Jamal Murray is out for the rest of the season. But I think they're still really, like, a tough team. You know, you still have Jokic there. That is your best player. You don't really want to mess with him. Michael Porter Jr., you know, he's a decent player. In the playoffs last year, he was, like, incredible. And Aaron Gordon is actually one of those players that can really stop Kawhi Leonard. Not that many players can really guard someone like Kawhi or Paul George, but Aaron Gordon is actually one of the best defenders, like, for that spot. And I think that'd be a really interesting matchup if that happens in the playoffs.
And he's a good asset to have along Joker because he's a good slashing, gets open for dunks and make some of the plays, like you said, on defense that leads to those fast break opportunities. So I think it works very, very well for the Nuggets.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I'm talking about later on in playoffs if the Nuggets and Clippers match up. Obviously, I don't think this is happening first round because they're too close to each other. So moving on, we've got the Los Angeles Lakers at the fifth seed. They have a record of 35-25. And obviously, Anthony Davis has just come back. He got like 15 to 17 minutes the first game against the Mavs. And he had, I think, 27 minutes or so last night against the Mavs. So, I mean, they said LeBron James might be back next week as well. I think he's going to be well-rested. So this is a team that's going to be tough in the playoffs for sure. But let's see if they keep, you know, this basically 500 thing, right? They win games, they lose games. They're, like, at this, you know, 500 level the past few games or so. So I think at full health, they'll be a scary team in the playoffs. But, you know, right now it's kind of like, not to mention, like, their backups are pretty good, right? Their backups did beat the Brooklyn Nets. So I'm not kind of trying to, like, you know, diss them right here. But I'm just saying, you know, obviously missing Davis and LeBron James for so long, it changes your team.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you got arguably the best player in the league and then, like, number three or four best player in the league that haven't been playing. And LeBron was playing at a very elite level before his injury. I mean, his, like, lowest point total was, like, 19. He was practically averaging a triple-double before he went out. I expect him to come back at that level just because of who he is and how he takes care of his body. I think, too, they haven't all played together with Drummond. So it's just going to be interesting how that dynamic plays out. I mean, they got three arguably starting centers on their roster. The fact that they didn't play Montrezl Harrell last night to keep Gasol sharp, I'm just saying that.
It was interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, even in the first game, Harrell didn't play that much. I saw him like in the second half a little bit. I was like, wow, I kind of forgot they had Harrell on the team because they just, you know, were using Davis and Drummond for quite a bit in the beginning. But
and, and Wes Matthews doesn't play that much. Ben McLemore. They got a lot of interesting names and pieces.
For sure. So let's see and see if they can get together. But yeah, obviously they'll be a great team. So really we're kind of looking at this range from the Lakers, the fifth seed. Then we got the Mavericks, 33-26, Trailblazers right behind them. Grizzlies, like those three teams are quite close to each other, right? We just recently passed the Blazers. The Blazers actually have the tiebreaker in case that happened. But we're a little bit above them now. The Grizzlies at the eighth seed. Spurs at the ninth and the Warriors at the 10th. And I think these are basically the 10 teams that are going to be, you know, in the contention for the playoffs. You got the Pelicans at 11th seed. They're 26-34. They're a little bit behind the Warriors, but I think the Warriors are just really good right now. You've seen Curry, like, you know, on this tear again. He's looking like MVP Curry right now. So that's going to be scary to see. But
the Warriors are all Curry. If Curry's hot, they get that W. If he's not hot, they're going down with the ship. It's the offense. If he's not there with the offense, it's hard. You know, Draymond can only do so much. That team's predicated around his offense.
Right. And then I think below you got the bracket here. Obviously, Rockets and Timberwolves are, you know, eliminated from playoff contention. You've got the Thunder and Kings. I don't see them making the playoffs. So, I mean, maybe the Pelicans do sneak in at the 10th somehow. But like I said, there's only a few games left in the season. So, whoever's going to try to make the playoffs, it's the time to do it right now. So I'm just happy as a Mavs fan right now, sitting at that sixth seed. I want to avoid the play-in game like the plague. Okay, I do not want to do that. Because those teams that you might face, you know, the Spurs, I'd be pretty okay with. But chances are you probably get the Warriors or potentially the Grizzlies. And I think both of those teams are really scary if they play well.
As a matter of fact, the Grizzlies just beat the Trailblazers again today. So that means it's two in a row. So that's going to make things interesting too. The Trailblazers are on a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can get it back together.
And they've been 2-8 in the last 10, right? And they do play the Grizzlies a third time. And if the Grizzlies win, they'll actually jump the Blazers in standings. So they'll be very interesting to watch. You know, I think the addition of Norman Powell was good. But I thought for the Blazers, they should have gone for Aaron Gordon, actually, right? I think they could have used a solid 4 instead of this 3 they got in Powell. But let's see what happens. I think Dame actually admitted today he needs to step up his game. So let's see. I mean, Dame's a great player. He's one of the, you know, at least top 10, you know, one of the better players in the league. And he's, you know, really brought his team to be in the playoffs throughout this whole year, right? Like he's put the team on his back as he usually does. So got a lot of
CJ McCollum was out. Nurkic was out for a period of time. I mean, Dame himself was out for a couple of games himself. So they've had moving pieces themselves traded. I think Powell actually seemed to fit in pretty well, but like you said, Gordon may have been a better fit if that's a possibility, but I think Norman Powell was the next best option.
Yeah.
I think it works well for both teams in that trade.
For sure, for sure. And when you look at the other teams here, Grizzlies, Ja Morant's been really great. They have some good pieces, but now Jaren Jackson's back, right? And that is going to be a very scary thing to do, right? Like, to play against this team is scary. So I get why the Blazers are losing. Like, that is, those are two really up-and-coming players. You got the Spurs, who have, like, this mix of young talent with some super old vets right now. But, you know, I think they're just playing with house money right now. Whether they make the playoffs, whether they lose in the play-in game, it is what it is. Like, you know, this is just fantastic. A lot of people didn't even think the Spurs would make the playoffs, so I think this is great for them. The Warriors, James Wiseman has that injury. He's been out, right? Obviously, Klay is out. So, like, basically, Steph Curry, Kelly Oubre, you know, you got some Draymond Green action going on. So the fact that they're, you know, at the 10th seed is still surprising, right? They came back from being down so much in the beginning of the season. They had that losing spree in the middle a month ago, and now they're back in action. So a lot of teams right behind the Mavs. It's going to be a little scary. So that's why these next upcoming 13 games are so important, right? Like, just to make sure that you make the playoffs, you don't have the play-in game, and potentially move up to the fifth seed, right? Like, playing the Nuggets maybe might be better than playing the Clippers right now, because the Clippers are on a hot streak.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so maybe that's potentially something you can do. I mean, obviously, like I said, let's make the playoffs, and I'll worry about it then. But if we're looking, like, I might, right? This is also the Mavericks, right? And I don't think there's anyone that can even slow down Jokic, right? Like, I think he's going to be scoring 60 points plus a night in each playoff game. So that'd be interesting to see. But like I said, let's get these W's right here, and let's look at the next 13 games. And the next time we record, there'll probably be four games left, and we can go over those then. But let's go over the next 13 and see who you think we can win against, maybe potential losses here. But I think a majority of these should be wins.
And one thing to note, those 7 through 10 teams that stand right now, each one of those teams has stud players on there that I'm scared to face. John Moran, he's freakishly good right now. Steph Curry, unstoppable. Dame Lillard, MVP conversation, like, incredible. DeMar DeRozan has been spectacularly really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been double-doubling with assists, 30 and 10 on many nights, any given night. I mean, these are not going to be easy games to deface. That's why nobody wants to be in that 7-10, because that's a fair game. Like, that's any, all bets are off when you're going in that playing game. So I don't want to be that. I want to secure six and be resting.
Yeah, for sure. And like we're talking about, the 10th seed right now is the Warriors. And if you look at Curry's stat line right now, it is like identical to the season he won the MVP. So that is really like, this peaks Curry. It is scary to watch. So, hey, let's just get in the playoffs and let's not worry about the playing game. So let's look at the next 13. So they play the Kings, Sacramento Kings, tomorrow night. That is a rematch, a redo from a week ago. We better get this win. Okay. The other thing is, Mavericks actually play better away than they do at home. So, you know, this is an away game. This is in Sacramento. So I'm hoping the Mavericks get this W. I think they should. Maybe
Harrison Barnes, some Rick Carlisle strategy or something.
Yeah. And I think that was the crazy part about losing against the Kings. They didn't have Marvin Bagley, and they also didn't have Rashawn Holmes, right? Like, they didn't have like these big men. And they still just whooped us. So, all right. So I'm hoping against the Kings they can win. They do play the Warriors. They play the Warriors Tuesday. And that'll be interesting, because that is a potential playing game matchup. And you might be like, uh-oh. In case the Warriors, which I think they might destroy the Mavs, Rick's going to be like, hey, if you don't want to do this in the playing game, you better start winning the next few, because yikes. Then you've got the Detroit Pistons. We played them quite recently too. Sadiq Bey was doing pretty decent right before then. We've got the Wizards. Russell Westbrook's like a triple-double machine again. He's been on his tear.
They're on a 7-game win streak right now.
Yeah, they are looking really good. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be scary to see as well. And we know Russell Westbrook doesn't like Mark Cuban, because Mark Cuban told... Remember that? Do you remember that? When Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were on the Thunder, and he said, oh, Durant's the MVP, but Westbrook's not even that great of a player. Like, he literally said this, and this is when they're playing each other in the playoffs. And of course, the Thunder whooped the Mavs in that playoff series. All right, so we got the Kings, we got the Warriors, we got the Pistons. Then we got the Wizards, like we said. That's Saturday, May 1st, day 3 of the NFL draft. So I'll be tuning into the draft and then watch this game afterwards. then following day, we play the Kings again. All right, so we're playing the Kings quite a bit. I'm hoping the Mavs can, bounce back and get some dubs here. Then you play the Miami Heat. Obviously, one of the better teams in the East. So I like these tests, right? You get kind of these tests. Right after the Heat, you get the Nets. Ooh. I hope at this point you go against Nash, my homeboy Nash. I love Steve Nash. But I'm hoping all three are available to play. Durant, Harden, Irving. I'd love to see that against the Mavs and see where the Mavs stand. And when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, they haven't played that much together. All three of them have played maybe two games together. Like, I feel like at least one's out every single night, and then potentially two are out every single night. So it'll be interesting to see if they can put it all together during the playoffs.
That would be a good litmus test to have.
Yeah, yeah, for exactly. Sure. Yeah. Okay, then right then, back-to-back Cavs. They better be back-to-back wins. Otherwise, I'm going to rage here. Then we got the Grizzlies. Ooh, another. This is the fourth to last game in the season.
That's going to be an interesting game, because depending on where we stand, that could be a huge, huge table, a momentum swing game.
Yeah, and it could be
a one game difference. That's a big difference.
This could potentially be the game where Grizzlies are the 7th seed, Mavs are the 6th, and then this switches it. Grizzlies get the 6th seed, and Mavs are pushed down to the 7th, right? Like, it could come down to that, and that'd be very interesting to see. We end off with the Pelicans, which just has a scary front court, right? Steven Adams hopefully will be healthy then, and Zion Williamson will be there. Obviously, Brandon Ingram, you got some great names there. It'll be interesting to see. They'll probably be missing the playoffs, like I mentioned, but they're right on the cusp. Then you have the Toronto Raptors, and then you end the season with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, even though they're eliminated from the playoffs, they've been looking pretty good. Anthony Edwards has been on a hot streak. Cat's looking good. D'Lo Russell, D'Angelo Russell, he's been cooking. So these are actually, like, when we look through these, maybe the Cavs and the Kings are the teams you should definitely win against, but the others are pretty up for grabs.
I hope that in these next 13 games, the Mavs can go at least 9-4, 8-5, something like that. I think that's really reasonable. Let's say you lose to the Heat, the Warriors, and the Nets. So that 10-3. Maybe you have another one of those games, and they're like the Timberwolves were really good that last game, or maybe the Grizzlies. But you gotta get those Cavs, like you said, the Cavs, the Kings is 4 games right there. You need to get those. You get the Pistons is 5.
Yeah.
Get that Wizards to 6. So I think there should be a winning record in these last 13 games.
Yeah, I think they should at least go 7-6. Yeah. I think you have to. But like we're talking about,
you're so close to 7th. If you have a losing record,
yeah, it's almost it is not good for sure. And I think ideally you get those 8-9 wins, and I think that'd be really good for the team morale, and you'd keep the momentum going in the playoffs.
This is also going to depend on the health of the Mavs too. Is KP gonna hopefully comes back soon after that ankle injury? Luka is 50-50 for tomorrow, depending on the elbow bruise that he had last night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of questions too, because they struggle without Luka.
And honestly, in the next few games, if you lose, I think more than half, right? In the next 6 games, if you go 3-3, maybe even 2-4. I think at that point you might just rest KP and Luka, right? Just keep them healthy for the playoffs, because at that point you're probably like headed towards play-in anyways. And I think you'd want to keep Luka and KP healthy at least for the play-in games or playoffs at that point.
I hope that since we're in the 6th seed right now, we try to sit there and secure that seed up, not that whatever we do.
Yeah, like we mentioned, the next 5: Kings, Warriors, Pistons, Wizards, Kings. Right, so they should go 3-2 at the worst. And hopefully you win against the Wizards and just go 4-1, and I think that'd be awesome.
I agree. That's my goal for leading up to early May.
Yep. All right. Well, did you have any closing notes here, or are we ready to wrap off, Ryan?
Just want to say, Mavs, keep that energy up. Let's go Dwight Powell. Let's go Kleber. Let's go Luka. Let's go KP. We got this. We got this. See some Millie, see some Willie Cauley Stein, Trey Burke. Be ready. Maybe some minutes. You never know. So let's see, maybe some Josh Green action. Who knows? Let's see what happens. But everybody, let's stay ready. Let's stay fresh. Let's stay energized. I just hope they start those first quarters off. That's what I'm saying. Just start those first quarters with energy and zeal, and get that lead in the first quarter.
Yep. It sounds great to me, especially those third quarters too. It feels like that's the quarter where they either win the game or they're going to lose, right? Because you see, they either come back, they hold on to lead, but like a lot of the times in the third quarter, that's like where the Mavs are kind of have like the small lead, and then they lose it, right? And then going to the fourth quarter, when you go into the losing, in the fourth quarter with you're losing in the game right now, the Mavs don't do too well. So that'll be interesting to see. Hat tip to Willie Cauley Stein. I thought he's been playing pretty great recently. Hopefully he gets more minutes going into the future. But yeah, I love it. Let's get these dubs. All right, let's eat some dubs like Jameis Winston out here, and let's get ready for the playoffs. Let's go Mavs. Until next time, we are out. See ya.
Go Mavs.